We're doing the Rambam in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Bet Halachat Tet. We do that for the next 20 minutes. The Rambam says, Kol HaNimtzim Chutz Min HaBorei, everything that's existent in the world, other than the Creator Himself, Metzura Rishona Ad Yetush HaKatan Sheyev Tabur HaAretz, from the first form to the most minuscule bug, the most minuscule fly, mosquito in the center of Earth, Hakol Mikoach HaMitato Nimtzam. Everything is here from the strength of His truth. And we discussed that this needs a lot of work. We expanded on this in the first halacha, in the very beginning of the work. What does it mean from the strength of His truth? He's not only saying it's from His existence, but it's also from the fact that He is true. From His truth stems the other truths and the other existences. V'lefishu yodei atzmo makir gdulato v'tifarto v'amitato yodei hakol v'en devar ne'ela mimenu. I don't know how to translate the word lefi. Lefi could mean because. Lefi could mean just as. He knows himself and knows his own greatness and glory and truth. He knows everything and nothing is concealed from him. So you understand that's a deep concept. How does that work? Is it because he knows himself? Doesn't seem to be that way. Just as he knows himself? Doesn't seem to be that way either. So the key to understanding this Rambam is the word lefi. Point aside, when you learn Rambam, the key to learning Rambam is finding the key words. Meaning, very often you read a Rambam and you're not sure what did he say. And the key to learning Rambam is always, like Reb Pesach Zatzal used to say, to find the switch points. To find that word which has multiple meanings. That word which you're not sure what the Rambam meant by that word. When you could zone in on that word, then you have clarity, at least, and what's and where your questions lie. Yud, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makir amito. Hashem recognizes His own truth. So let's finish this halacha, because at first glance this halacha is problematic. V'yodei otah kmo shehi, and He knows it as it is in its essence. We said no angel does, but Hashem does. V'eino yodea b'dea shehi chutz mimenu, and His knowledge is not separate from Himself. Kmo she'anu yodim, as is our knowledge. Our knowledge stems from external stimuli. I see, therefore I know. I think, therefore I know. I hear, therefore I know. There are steps involved. There's a process. Not by Hashem. She'enanu v'da'atenu achat. We are separate from our own knowledge. Meaning, we have to process information in order to have knowledge. That's not the way it is with Hashem. Aval haborei yitbarach hu v'da'ato v'chayav echad. But God is singular, be it He, His knowledge, His life. It's all one entity. Mikol tzadu mikol pinao v'chol derech yichud. And it is as singular as can be, from every angle, from every approach. God is singular. He, His knowledge, His life, it is all one. There's no process. It's not like by us that the brain has to synthesize. There's a whole thought process. There are different parts of the brain that synthesize different pieces of information. No, not by Hashem. Shil malei ha'chai b'chayin v'yodea b'de'a chutz mimenu. If God had life, it was a separate function. If God's knowledge was separate from Himself, then there's more than one God. There's He, there's His life, there's His knowledge. They're all godly. We don't do that. That's not the way it is. He is singular from every angle. He is singular from every vantage point. He is singular in every aspect of singularity. Turns out that you say, "Hu yodea v'hu hayadua v'hu hadea atzma kol echad." Now this is, we're going to say it in one sentence, but you can spend the rest of the week thinking about this sentence. Turns out that He knows, and He is what is being known, and He is the knowledge itself, and that is all one. Hu hayodea, He is the one that knows. Hu hayadua, He is what's being known. V'hu ha'de'a atzma, He is the knowledge itself. So guys, you got to think about that. Digest that. V'davar zein koach bape lo'omro v'lo bozen l'shomo. And what I just said, says the Rambam, is beyond human capacity to say and human capacity to hear. V'lo v'lev ha'adam la'kir al buryo. Nor is it within the human capacity to really understand it. U'lefichach omer chei paro v'chei nafshecha v'en omer chei Hashem el ha'chai Hashem. When we speak about the life of anyone else, very often they'd swear by someone's life. So if they were swearing by Paro's life, they'd say, Chei Paro, by the life of Paro. Chei Nafshecha, by your life. Then Omer Chei Hashem, but it doesn't say by the life of Hashem, but rather Chai Hashem. Hashem, life, because they're one. Doesn't they say the life of, as though it's separate from Hashem himself? Because he is one. He and his life are one entity. Okay. Hagufim achayim, kmo chaye hagufim achayim, o kechaye malachim. His life is not like other living organisms or like the life of angels. And then the next step is, when it comes to his knowledge of the creatures, of creations, and the way he sees them, it's not mechamat habruim moshanu yodim otam. It's not because of them. It's not that he's hearing them, seeing them the way we know them in a mechamat etzem atzmo yodam. But he knows everything in the world because of what he is. I would say who he is, but that's not clear enough. Because of the way Hashem is, in his essence, he knows everything. It's not that he has to hear in order to know, to see in order to know. Lefichach mivnei shu yodeh atzmo, yodeh akol, shakol nismach lo bavayato. Being that he knows himself, he knows everything, because everything exists based on his own existence. The Rambam just said a totally different concept. He says it with a lefichach. It's as though this causes that, but to me it seems like they're two different concepts. I don't know how to put the two together. Okay. דברים אלו שאמרנו בעניין זה בשני פרקים אלו, כמו טיפה מן הים. What we just said, he says, is like a drop in the ocean. כטיפה מן הים הם ממה שצריך לבאר בעניין זה. They're like a drop in the ocean from what needs to be explained in this concept. וביאור כל העיקרים שבשני פרקים אלו, הנקרא מעשה מרכבה. And what we explained, these concepts of these two chapters, is what's called in Chazal מעשה מרכבה, the deep Kabbalistic secrets of the Torah. Everything we've just been discussing. ציווך חכמים ראשונים שלא לדרוש ברבים אלו, Our sages said, you don't publicize these things. You only teach it to an individual. And he has to first be a wise man. And he has to have his own understanding. And only afterwards do you give him the headings. And you tell him a small part of it. And then using his own knowledge, he can develop it. And then he will understand the ultimate understanding and its depth. ודברים אלו דברים עמוקים ומדלים מאוד, and what we're discussing has tremendous depth, מן כל דעה ודעת ראויה לסובלן. And not everyone has the capacity to understand what we're discussing. ועליהם אמר שלמה בחוכמתו דרך משל, כבשים ללבושך, כך אמרו חכמים בפירוש משל זה, דברים שהם כבשונו של עולם יהיו ללבושך, כלומר לך לבדך, ואל תדרוש אותם ברבים. So our sages said that King Solomon in his allegories meant to say that these deep secrets of the world should be like your garment, that it's something that you alone wear. You don't publicize them. And that's what our sages say. They are to you alone and others can't share with you. And about these things, the verse says, like honey and milk under your tongue. Things that are like honey and milk should be under your tongue. Don't say them with your tongue. You understand the Rambam here is saying things that we don't understand. He didn't have to bring all these three midrashim. Obviously, each one is telling us a different level of secrecy in these two chapters. So why did we bother learning them? Because the Rambam bothered writing them in a book that he wrote for the masses. So the Rambam writes it in the book that he wrote for the masses, and he only tells us in the end, hey, you weren't supposed to understand that. So whatever understanding we did glean, we realize, hey, this is beyond us. We don't really understand the depths of what he's saying, but on some level, we do see what he's saying. So that's what we saw now. The next chapter, I really don't see that we could gain much from. The next chapter, the Rambam discusses the zodiac, the stars, the cycles of the stars, and the forces that are involved with the stars themselves, the angels, the cycles of the stars, and so we're going to skip that. And the fourth chapter too. In the fourth chapter, the tenth halacha, he says, everything we've just been discussing in these two chapters is Maase Bereishis, the secret Kabbalistic concepts that's called Maase Bereishit. And then he says, what's the difference between the two? And he explains that in Halacha Yud Aleph. And then in Halacha Yud Gimel, he says, in the end of the fourth chapter, all of this is what our sages call Pardes, the orchard. And a lot of people tried to understand it and failed. And even among the sages, there were four who entered it, and three out of the four lost it. Only one came out whole, Rabbi Akiva. So it's not easy concepts, and it's not so much within our reach. So now we go on to the fifth chapter. Kol Beit Yisrael, all the house of Israel. What's the house of Israel? So this needs work. Why is he talking about the house of Israel? Maybe later we'll have an understanding in that. Kol Beit Yisrael mitzuvin al kiddush Hashem ha-gadol hazeh. All the house of Israel are commanded to sanctify this great name. And maybe here we should pause for a quick introduction who the Rambam was. At age 13 he was already on the run because the Muslims placed forced conversions, and then much of his life he spent running. He finally had to his father had to flee from Morocco after his father published a letter saying that you have to realize that a person is drowning. That's our situation here in Morocco, where the Almohads have decreed that everyone must convert to Islam or face death. We have to exile or die or convert. And his father said, you have to realize that it's like a person who's drowning and he's reaching for a rope. And even if he touches the rope, he has a chance at living. But the second he gives up on holding on to that rope, then he's for sure dead. He said, the Torah is our rope. And now, on whatever level you can keep the Torah and hold on to the Torah, that's life. And if you think that by converting or hiding ceasing to perform the mitzvahs, you're going to gain life, that's not life. The Ravid was hung. The Ravid was hung when he refused to convert. Throughout our history, we've been persecuted and chased. And we have to see the Rambam, against the backdrop of history, he's living at a time where he's writing the Yemenite epistle, he's writing the letter to the Jews of Yemen who are facing forced conversions, he's writing the halachos here after he's seen community after community persecuted to the point of murder and to the point of pogroms, to the point of exile, and in face of all that, he says, we have to realize our commandment. The Rambam does not let the current events affect his writing of halacha. The halacha is the halacha. He has his letters in which he discusses, okay, what compromises are acceptable, what can you do, how should we treat people who compromised. Ibn Ezra's own son, Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, he had a son, I think his name was Yitzchak. He lost all his children and his wife. He was impoverished his whole life, could never make ends meet. And his own son was in a country where there were forced conversions, and he converted. And later on, he came back. Later on, he returned and wrote a whole letter saying how he only did it publicly, he only stated publicly that he was accepting Muhammad, but he never believed it for a minute. Ibn Ezra was heartbroken when he heard about it. We live in relatively peaceful time. They're only saying in Egypt that they want to kill Jews. You know, we love freedom, we love democracy, we love to kill Jews. Those are the t-shirts going around in Egypt, and Tunisia, and Libya. We live in times where all around us, they're saying they want to kill us. And when there was a reporter, I don't know if you guys saw the news, a reporter from CBS, wasn't even Jewish, but the mobs thought she was Jewish. So they lynched her. She finally made it out alive, but badly bruised. But that's because they thought she was Jewish. So we live in times where we're fortunate that we're not there. We're living here in Israel and we pray that we're safe. Although there's a lot to pray about these days. The Rambam was living in times where the Jews were living under the rule of the Muslims. And the Muslims were killing and threatening with death those who wouldn't convert. Anyone who would practice Judaism openly in many of the countries was killed in many of the countries, and the Rambam spent much of his life fleeing this persecution. So, the Rambam writes this halacha unwaveringly, Kol Beit Yisrael mitzuvin al kiddush Hashem ha-gadol hazeh. All the house of Israel is commanded to sanctify this great name, Shneimar v'nikdashti b'toch bnei Yisrael. As the verse says, I will be sanctified amongst the sons of Israel. Umuzarim shelo l'chalelo. So we have a mitzvah, we have a positive commandment, Kiddush Hashem. We have a prohibition not to desecrate Hashem's name. Shneimar, the verse says, v'lo t'chalelu et shem kodshi. Don't desecrate my holy name. Ketzad. How so? Shiamod oved kochavim v'yanos t'Yisrael la'avor al achat mikol mitzvot amurot b'torah o yargenu. If a pagan stands over a Jew and forces him to transgress a mitzvah or will kill him, yavor ve'al yareg, then he should transgress and not get killed. Shneimar b'mitzvot sheyaseh otam ha'adam v'chai b'hem. It says about mitzvos, these are the mitzvos that you do and live. So the Torah says, v'chai b'hem v'lo sheyamut b'hem. I want you to live and not die. So Torah observance is supposed to be about life, not death. Ve'imet v'lo avar ha'reza mitcheyev b'nafsho. And the Rambam holds, this is a big machlokes, the Rambam holds that if someone gives up his life and does not transgress the mitzvah, then God's going to hold it against him. He's responsible for his own soul. So other Rishonim disagree. Other Rishonim say if you want to give up your life for any mitzvah, that's admirable, but you only have to give up your life for specific mitzvahs. The Rambam holds not like that. The Rambam says very clearly, anyone who gives up his life for mitzvahs that he didn't have to is in transgression, and God holds it against him. Yes? We'll get to the big three in 1 second.
So what about saving someone's life?
So I'm listening.
For example, we've had the one story we've all heard. There's a soldier and a grenade's thrown at them, and he jumps on the grenade and saves all his mates.
It's an excellent question. The Rambam's going to get to that. We have a little bit ways to go about that. You're saying, can a person be a fireman? Can a person be a soldier? He's risking his life or giving up his life to save others. What happens when a person can give up his life and save a lot of other people? Let's see. It's a good question. We haven't yet read the exceptions. You know, one of the things you have to do in Rambam is read the whole thing, and then it's an excellent question. The Rambam will deal with it. We're going to have to pause today mid-sentence. As much as we learn, we won't finish all these halachos, but we're starting. Now, it's always important when you learn Rambam to begin in the beginning. And we did that. But let's remind ourselves. What did the Rambam say? Which mitzvos are going to be encompassed in these halachos? He said there are 10 mitzvos. To know Hashem. So we learned that already. A prohibition not to entertain the thought that there's any other force that be. We learned that. To recognize God's singularity. We learned that. To love Hashem. We learned that. To fear Him. We learned that. To sanctify His name. That's the sixth mitzvah. So that's what we're learning now. Not to desecrate his name. That's the seventh mitzvah. That's what we're learning now. So we're up to the sixth and seventh mitzvahs that the Rambam is going to discuss now. B'mei dvarim omurim, Halach Beis says the Rambam. What are we talking about? B'shar mitzvot chutz ma'avodat kochavim. V'gilui arayot v'shpichut tamim. There are three exceptions. Idol worship, forbidden relationships, which needs to be expanded on, and murder. אבל שלוש עבירות אלו, but these three sins, אם יאמר לו, עבור על אחת מהם או תהרג, if the pagan tells him, transgress or I'll kill you, יהרג ואל יעבור. Then he has to be willing to get killed and not transgress. במה דברים אמורים, בזמן שהעקום מתכוון לענת עצמו? When is this so? That the Jew should transgress all the other mitzvahs rather than die? That's when the pagan is just interested in having his own pleasure. That's why he's telling him to transgress. Kigon shansoliv not lebayit b'shabbat. For example, he tells him, you build my house on Shabbos or I'll kill you. So, okay, he doesn't. His whole point is he wants his house. Or he tells him, you cook my meal on Shabbos or I'll kill you. Okay, he has no choice. Anasi shale bo alav ha'yitzeh bezeh. Or if he takes a woman forcibly. So anything like this, you understand, he's doing it for his own benefit. Now, the Rambam gave us three examples. Why did the Rambam give us three examples? If we were learning in depth, we'd have to analyze what I'm supposed to learn from each of these examples. But if his intent was one intent, I want you to sin. I want you to transgress the mitzvos. אם היה בינו לבין עצמו ואין שם עשרה מישראל יעבור ועל יערג. If it's only the pagan and the Jew alone, meaning that there aren't 10 Jews around, so then he should still transgress and not get killed. Even though the pagan is just, I want to show that you're going to transgress. ואם אנסו להעבירו בעשרה מישראל, but if there are 10 people present, so then we have a situation where it's going to be a chil Hashem. He wants to desecrate God's name. I'm going to show that this Jew will eat pork. I don't need him to eat the pork. I don't get anything out of his eating pork. All I get is that I show that I caused him to transgress. I want him to transgress the Torah. That's a chil Hashem. So then yareg val yavo. He should rather give up his life than sin. Meaning again, if there are 10 people present, but what he wants me to do is something that he enjoys, that's his purpose, so then I could transgress. But if his purpose is to show that he broke a Jew, his purpose is to show, look, I got him to transgress a mitzvah, that's a chilul Hashem, and then if there are 10 Jews present, 10 Jews, not 10 people, 10 Jews, v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, the verse says, God says, I want you to sanctify my name among the Jewish people. The fact that other people are present, that's not relevant. ואם אנסו להעבירו בעשרה מישראל יהרג ואל יעבור, ואפילו לא נתכוון להעבירו אלא על מצווה משאר מצוות בלבד. Although the mitzvah is one of the other mitzvahs, it's not one of the big three, nonetheless, a person has to be willing to give up his life for that as well. And in the next halacha, the Rambam will discuss that there is a concept of shmad. Everything we discussed is when it's one pagan and one Jew. What happens when the government makes a decree? So that's a totally different halacha. We'll pick up here, as we said, we're stopping mid-sentence, but we'll pick up here in the third halacha of the fifth chapter, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week. Sorry.